The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Special welcome to the show today to everybody who was at Electric Picnic and is possibly nursing a sore head and a delicate sense of self-health this morning. Of course, one of the big draws over the weekend were the Wolvetones, elevated to the main stage this year after playing on one of the smaller stages last year and packing it out. Expectedly, there were chants and singing along with gusto by many people to the chorus of Celtic Symphony, Ooh-Ah Up the Ra, and then expectedly some people critical of it as well. Ben Lowry is the editor of the Belfast newsletter. We're going to speak to Ben in just a moment. Ronan McGreevy is with me, Irish Times journalist and author of Great Hatred, The Assassination of Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson, MP. Ronan, it's good to see you as always.
Thank you,
Kieran. Thanks a million for coming in to us. That time of year again, the perennial Wolvetones debate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd never seen such a huge crowd as there was yesterday on the main stage. I'd say, you know, there must have been 50,000 people there, I'd imagine. It was just absolutely jammed. So, yeah, it was our last song. So,
it was always going to be their last song.
Yeah, it was always going to be their last song. And, you know, the footage doesn't lie. You know, I'd say to a man and a woman that were singing along to Up the Ra yesterday.
Yeah, well, listen, Ben Lowry is with us, editor of the Belfast newsletter. Ben, like I say, kind of expectedly this morning, some people critical of those scenes. Can you understand the issues?
Well, I mean, I suppose the fundamental issue that I understand and I'm afraid of being predicting was the normalisation of the chant of Ooh-Ah Up the Ra. And the fact that across nationalist Ireland, because I think it is happening on both sides of the border increasingly with young people, there is this idea that it's a harmless chant. And I think that that's, I mean, obviously I do edit a unionist newspaper and I come at it from that perspective. I do think that that's a very ominous development because the IRA campaign, which is what is being honoured by that, was rejected by nationalists in Northern Ireland when Sinn Féin began to contest elections in the 1980s. And obviously they very close to the IRA and defended strongly, still do, the IRA campaign. The SDLP always beat them, pretty much always, and usually quite decisively. But the more interesting election results, and I often make this point in columns and writing to a unionist audience that I don't think people in Northern Ireland should forget, it was the Republic of Ireland that absolutely entirely rejected this campaign. Sinn Féin, from the early 80s when it contested right up until after 1998, Belfast Agreement, it got between 1 and 4% of the vote. So the people of the Irish Republic entirely rejected an IRA campaign because people who lived through it knew what it was. And now this is all seen as a harmless thing. And there was a dreadful incident a week or two ago, and in fact, in the newsletter, we've been almost alone in covering it, in the homecoming of the Ireland, Team Ireland Olympic athletes, including a number of athletes from Northern Ireland. Obviously, it's a complicated situation here because some athletes compete for Northern Ireland, some for Team GB. We had, from Northern Ireland athletes, a stunning success of 7 medal tallies. And on this happy occasion, BBC had a live report from a reporter in Dublin with school children in the background who at the end began to sing Ooh-Ah Up the Ra. Now, that's obviously a situation that the BBC wasn't in their control and they brought the broadcast to an end. And but it's all part of what I'm talking about. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that when we have people competing for both teams and a hope and a happy story and a sense of goodwill and an apolitical situation, that children are erupting into Ooh-Ah Up the Ra? It isn't a good omen for a new Ireland, which we keep being told as unionists is a conversation we must join.
But to what extent, Ben, do you imagine people, you know, on the street at those celebrations in Dublin or at Electric Picnic are thinking about things like, you know, Warrington or Kingsmill or anything like that? And they're just, you know, it's like singing along to kind of Born to Run or Don't Stop Believing. None of us are thinking about the lyrics. You're just singing along. It's a kind of a congregational atmosphere.
It's a very good question. And I suppose I was trying to answer the question in that way, which is that this is seen as normalised. And every time anyone mentions anything about it, I think Irish government ministers have taken this approach, several of them. It's sort of, oh, yeah, well, it's harmless. It's harmless. And I think that this is a specific project. Some people are pushing it along. A lot of people are not pushing it along, retrospectively, to normalize IRA violence. And it isn't happening in reverse. There is no normalization. There is no inclination towards. There is no tendency within unionism towards singing hardcore loyalist songs. Of course, there are situations in which loyalists have sung those songs, but it isn't something that's growing. It's something that, even when it did appear at football matches and something, has been seen as unacceptable and pushed away. And this is something that is growing. Imagine people singing, for example, triumphalist pro-parachute regiment or pro-British Army songs up in Londonderry with the wounds that there are up there. And I actually think the biggest problem is not merely that this is happening. It's that the attitude is, it doesn't matter and it's all a bit harmless. I think it is a very bad situation.
The danger is what? It's not that all of those people suddenly kind of develop a sneaking regard or become outright supporters of the IRA. It's what? It's that it becomes harder to convince other generations of the reality of the Troubles, is it? You know, that
yeah, I think
the
that
view
that's
has
right.
been kind and of I, softened.
I think that is correct. So for example, I'm in my early 50s and my generation doesn't really remember much before the hunger strikes, which is in the early 1980s. So even my own generation didn't really have a proper memory of the worst years of the Troubles, which is the 1970s. So there's no question that when I see colleagues and when I talk to young people who are 20 years younger than me, who are born maybe after the IRA ceasefire, or maybe even after the Belfast Agreement, of course they are going to have a different perspective. And of course it is a good thing that they are going to, it's a good thing that people have a different perspective and they're not fixated on these things. But think through what I shouldn't tell you what to think. I'm trying to explain why this is particularly hurtful. You have a new generation of athletes from Northern Ireland, some of whom, for complicated reasons that would take too long to explain, to do with how different sports are organized, compete for Team GB, some of whom compete for Team Ireland, and people sometimes from quite unionist parts of Northern Ireland, absolutely delighted at their success and their triumph, and people coming out into the streets, other young people to see them, despite which team they compete for. And it is seen as normal and harmless and part of the moving away from the Troubles that people might, for example, break into song of Ooh Ah Up the Ra. And I think it's really disturbing that there isn't more of a backlash against this in the Republic. And I think, again, it's another thing that I think that my feeling is that unionists should say, listen, there isn't a new Ireland emerging. In fact, the reverse is happening. The Ireland, which wouldn't have dreamt of doing this 30 years ago, is now seeing this as harmless.
I'll bring back in Ronan McGreevy in just a moment, Ben. But before I let you go, can I ask a question? Do you think the same issues should have been highlighted last week in this country when we were kind of lauding and lionizing NECAP, for example?
Well, I could talk to you again about NECAP. This is all so easy. It's just again and again and again, there are these nationalist ways, emerging trends within nationalism that wouldn't be tolerated for 2 seconds within unionism. Could you imagine a band that put on a very painful and wounding association for Catholics in Northern Ireland is the site of loyalists in balaclavas. Say a straight black balaclava. What a frightening sight that was, because loyalists, at the worst of the Troubles, what they did was they didn't kill Republicans very rarely. They did a much more despicable and easy thing. They didn't kill people involved in the combat. They killed Catholics for being Catholic. Could you imagine a loyalist band emerging, going around in a balaclava, and this, and it all be, we had a soft interview with them in the BBC just a week or two ago. And the presenter saying, well, I haven't got my tickets yet. Could you imagine a loyalist band being treated with such associations? And then to anyone who complains, and this is always the riposte to anyone who complains, oh, well, what are you worrying about? You're taking it too seriously. It's all a laugh. It's all a bit of a joke. So I think that the kneecap, yes, in answer, long answer to your question, they have had a very easy ride.
Ronan McGreevy is still with us from the Irish Times. Ronan, can you see where Ben is coming from?
Absolutely can, yeah. I mean, he's, you know, I think Uau Up the Ra is a bit of a distraction from the fact that there are the generation who are probably under the age of 35 don't know very much about the Troubles. In fact, there was a survey carried out recently by the Sunday Times which found more people under the age of 35 actually thought that the British Army killed the most people in the Troubles, when in fact it was the Provisional IRA who killed half the people that were in the Troubles. The British Army killed 10%. And I think that's the sort of thing that we need to be focusing on is, as Ben himself says, you know, I mean, the Provisional IRA were despised by the vast majority of people on this island, Catholic and Protestant, North and South. I mean, they, Sinn Féin during the 70s and during the 80s were getting 2-4% in the polls. They were outpolled 2-1 by the SDLP in the North until the 1990s. So those are the facts. I mean,
but is it also the fact that, I mean, the IRA couldn't have existed and operated for as long as they did without soft support in the community? Do you know what I mean? People might not necessarily have voted for them at the ballot box, or, you know, if surveyed, wouldn't have said, absolutely, I support their MO. But when they got the frantic knock on the door in the middle of the night saying, the RUC are after me, put me somewhere, they put them somewhere.
Well, that may be the case. You don't need a huge amount of people, really. You know, if you know where the safe houses are and the safe communities are, you're going to be able to find a help where you need it. But, I mean, you know, that's anecdotal evidence. The actual evidence, when you look at the electoral evidence in terms of the support for Sinn Féin in the 80s and 90s, it was nothing like it is today. And because people did not, even the nationalist community in the North did not support, the whole nationalist community in the North did not support the Provisional IRA. They were very much on the same side as John Hume, the SDLP, Seamus Mallon, people like that. So, I mean, those are the facts. I mean, people can argue why that was the case. But
so is what we're talking about here then a version of nature abhorring a vacuum? That we're not, there is no account of the Troubles given to kids in school, for example, in this country, despite the fact that it all kicked off over 50 years ago. I mean, it'd be a little like up until the 1990s, not teaching kids about World War II because it was too recent.
Yeah, well, that's the issue. But again, I totally sympathise with Ben here when he says that, you know, this isn't funny. It isn't funny. I mean, I talk about in the Irish Times about a generational schism between, you know, my generation and the old people older than me who remember the Troubles and the younger generation who don't. We don't see the funny side of this. But I think that perhaps, you know, the young people nowadays, they may not, it may just be a chant to them. It may not have any political import whatsoever. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. I mean, there are other songs in the sort of Wolf Tones arsenal, like Sean South from Gary Owen. I mean, how many people know about Sean South? Do they know who they're singing about? Do they know who John?
He was in the border campaign.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty much a far right.
I think I only know that because of this exact debate last year.
So he was. I mean, look, he was basically a religious fanatic and very anti-Semitic, and used to go around trying to get the cinemas in Limerick closed down. So, but not a lot of people know that. They know the songs, and there is a great rebel song tradition in this country. I mean, and where do you put an end to it? I don't know, but I mean, you have to remember well that the Wolf Tones yesterday were also singing Joe McDonald, which is about the hunger striker, and then the helicopter song, which is about the escape in 1973 of the IRA leadership from Mountjoy Jail. So, you know, it isn't just Celtic Symphony.
That was a fantastic contribution by Ben Lowry, says Mike Ryan in Dublin 18, and I'd wholeheartedly endorse it. Somebody else says there's no getting around the fact the IRA carried out far more crimes beyond the borders in Northern Ireland than the other side, so the glorification of their crimes is all the more disgraceful. And Oliver and Clare says, for goodness sake, it's a song. If we ban Up the Rat, should we ban Zombie and any song associated with the Troubles? Well, first of all, no one's talking about banning it, but...
Yeah, but I think that's the point as well. I mean, if for instance, Cranberries, obviously, poor Dolores is no longer with us. But if they sang Zombie, would the same people in that crowd be singing along?
Absolutely.
Zombie?
Of course they would.
So because it's a song and that's the reality of it. We sing a lot of songs. We really don't understand the meanings of them at all. So, but the broader question is, you know, is there a normalisation in Irish society of what the provisional IRA did? That's the big question that needs answering, rather than whether or not...
And do you think there is?
Well, I'm looking at a survey recently in the North which said that 70% of nationalists believed what Michelle O'Neill said, that there was no alternative to the armed struggle. I mean, that figure was 70% the other way in 1998, when the Good Friday Agreement was signed. So I suspect so, but I mean, the important thing is that people, if they're interested in the Troubles, that they read as widely as they can about it and try to find out exactly what happened, because it's a very complicated
And just
situation.
Then to kind of repeat a point we flirted with a moment ago, I mean, should it be part of the school curriculum, the history curriculum,
it
more centrally?
Be, yeah, but I mean... Even that's going to be contentious. I mean, what do you include in it and so on? It's a very hard subject, even at this remove, to treat neutrally, like, you know, the First World War, the Second World War, we can take a step back. There are still people nowadays who are bitterly contesting the truth. And as we know as well from various documents and reports that are coming out, the whole history of the Troubles is still to be written, you know. So, but I think it's important that people educate themselves about what happened.
Well, I think the Kaiser gets a bad rap for the start of the First World War. I'd say that. Listen, Ronan, it's good to see you. Ronan McGreevy, the Irish Times journalist and author of Great Hatred, The Assassination of Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson MP, and Ben Lowry, editor of the Belfast Newsletter.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.